Lekach Moshe Satzmos Yosef Imo. Moshe Rabbeinu went and took Yosef's bones, Yosef's remains, to bring them back to Mitzrayim, to bring them back from Mitzrayim, to be buried in Eretz Canaan. Ki Ashbei Ashbi as Bnei Yisrael Leimor, Pekod Yivkod Elokim Eschem, Valisim Esatz Mosayim Yizeh Etchem. At the end of Parshas Vayichi, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, we read that Yosef told his brothers and the rest of Bnei Yisrael that when they come out of Mitzrayim, that they should take his bones, his remains, and rebury him in Eretz Canaan. So the way the pasuk describes it, it sounds like Moshe went over to Moshe Rabbeinu went over to Yosef's coffin and picked up the bones and brought them on the journey. But Chazal tell us that it was much more difficult because they weren't sure where Yosef was buried. What happened? Pasuk says at the end of Chumash Bereishis, Vayisem Baron Mitzrayim, that when Yosef died, he was placed in an Aron Mitzrayim. What was going on? Chazal tell us that the Egyptians took Yosef and put him in an Aron that was very heavily weighted and had it sink to the bottom of the Nile, that it should never be taken out of there. And this was done for one of two reasons. One opinion in Medrash is that they didn't, that Yosef's body would be a bracha, Yosef's remains would be a bracha for the Nilus, for the Nile, and therefore they wanted the body to stay there as long as possible. And this way the Nile would be blessed, and the Nile was the source of all water and fertility for all of Mitzrayim. And the alternative explanation is that their reasoning was somewhat devious. They knew that Yosef had told Bnei Israel and made them swear that they wouldn't leave his body behind. Which means if they couldn't find Yosef's body, they wouldn't be allowed to leave. So if ever came a time Bnei Israel would try to leave Mitzrayim, they wouldn't be able to find Yosef's body, so they're stuck here. And that's what they did. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and it's 139 years later, if I did my calculations correct, after Yosef died, and nobody knows where Yosef is buried. Somewhere in the Nile, nobody knows what happened. Nobody except for one person. Who is the one person who knows where Yosef is buried? Sarah Bas Asher. No? Somebody said something else? I don't know. Sarah Bas Asher is the one person. And Yosef goes over to Sarah Bas Asher and says, "Where is Yosef?" And she points to where Yosef is buried, and then Chazal tell him, "Biderech Neis, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to raise the coffin from the bottom of the Nile and then take it with him on the journey back to Eretz Canaan." And what's interesting is that this Sarah Bas Asher person, if we were to read about her in Chumash, basically we know that Asher had a daughter named Sarah. And that's about it. But Chazal tell us that there's a lot more to Sarah Bas Asher. Not only was she the one who knew where Yosef was buried, and therefore was able to tell Moshe, who was then able to bring Yosef's bones back to Eretz Canaan, but she played another role in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu told his sons, particularly Yosef, that they're going to be in Mitzrayim for a long time, but they will be eventually they'll be redeemed. But how are you going to know if the person who claims to come along to redeem you, redeem Bnei Yisrael, is telling the truth, or maybe he's some sort of charlatan, he's some sort of false messiah? Yaakov said he's going to say two key words. He's going to say in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pakol Pakadati Eschem. And the person who comes along and says, Pakol Pakadati Eschem, that's the one who's going to be the true redeemer. Now, you couldn't publicize this, because if everybody knew that those were the key words, then any fake, any charlatan could come along and say, oh, Pakol Pakadati. So this was a secret.
that only if you knew. Yaakov told Yosef, Yosef told his brothers, and his brother Asher told Sarah. You see, Sarah lived for a very long time. Chazal tells us she lived way into the time of David HaMelech. So she lived for a very long time. And she was the keeper of the soul. She knew the secret code. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says, Poko Pekadati, she says, he's the one. He's the real thing. It's not any fake. So that's the second thing we learn about Sarah Vasasha. But there's a third story that tells us about Sarah. A story that happens earlier. What story am I referring to? Right. Yaakov Avinu thinks that Yosef has been devoured by wild beasts. 22 years he's living with that false idea in his mind. And the brothers come back from their second trip to Mitzrayim and what do they claim? Claim that Yosef is alive. At the beginning, Yaakov doesn't really believe them. Chazal tell us, depends exactly how she did this. But Chazal tell us that who was the one who broke the news to Yaakov in a way that he believed it? It was Sarah Bas Asher. She started singing and playing and singing Od Yosef Chai. She was the one. And that Yaakov believed. What does this tell us about Sarah Bas Asher? What are these three incidents? She tells, she's the one who's able to convince Yaakov that Yosef is alive. She is the one who keeps the sod of Pakot Pakadati. She's the one who knows where Yosef is buried. I'll tell you what I think it tells us about Sarah Bas Asher. She excelled probably in many things. But what Chazal want to tell us that she excelled in is her emunah. She had a strong, solid belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the future of Am Yisrael, and the relationship between them. 210 years Bnei Yisrael are in Mitzrayim. She lived through that entire time. And never once did she falter. She knows someday we're coming, we're getting out of here. The Goel is going to come. The Redeemer is going to come. I know it. I feel it in my bones. Who better than Sarah should be the one to hold on to the message of Pakot Pakadati? She knows it's going to happen. And in the 139 years after Yosef dies, she doesn't forget for one moment where Yosef is buried. Because we're going to leave here. Going to go out. And I have to remember where he's buried. A year passes. 10 years pass. 100 years pass. It doesn't make a difference. We're going out. Everybody around her has died. But we're going to leave. And she's right. But I was thinking just maybe. The brothers knew that Yosef had been sold as a slave. But they never told anybody else. It was a chayim, they couldn't tell anybody else. Yaakov believed that he was eaten by wild animals. What about Sarah? Maybe Sarah knew, somehow or another, deep down in her bones, Yosef must be alive. There's supposed to be 12 Shiftei Ka. There's supposed to be 12 brothers. It's not possible that one of them is no longer alive. Am Yisrael has a future. Not 11 out of 12 future, it's a 12 out of 12 future. And she held on to that emunah. And therefore, when the brothers are coming back and say, Yosef's alive, she says, I knew it. She knew it. And maybe it's that deep-seated emunah that her grandfather Yaakov saw in her that convinced him that Yosef really was alive. And I had another idea that I can't prove. I didn't see it. Maybe it's Lorina in a riot, it's no proof. But I had another idea about Sarah. Chazal tell us that when the Meraglim came along, Bnei Yisrael cried, they believed the Meraglim, the 10 Meraglim, and they cried, they said, oh, we should have died in the desert, let's go back to Mitzrayim, they don't want to go into Eretz Canaan. But the Medrash says, that was the men. The women didn't believe the Meraglim. The women, therefore, were not part of the Gzeirah of dying in the desert. They said, we're going into Eretz Canaan. Where did the women get this fortitude from? So I don't know. But I can just imagine back in Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu in his early years was able to convince Paro, before he was found out to be Moshe, to give Bnei Yisrael one day off from Avdus. They'll work better if they work 6 days a week and not seven. And he managed to get them off on Shabbos. So what happened Shabbos afternoon? You can see old Safta Serach gathering all the young Kinderlach together and telling them stories. Telling them stories about Eretz Canaan. She was there. She was alive when they came. She was one of the Shivim Nefesh. They came and telling stories about Eretz Canaan and about Zaydi Yaakov. She knew Zaydi Yaakov. And week after week, year after year, telling the little girls who are now becoming young women about how wonderful Eretz Canaan is, how great Eretz Canaan is, how fantastic it is. And maybe, I can't prove this, but maybe, when the Meraglim came along, and they're telling all these stories about how horrible the place is, we said, no, don't believe them. We know. Safta Serach told us, Tanta Serach told us. She's probably everybody's Safta. And they had that strength. They had that emunah. And maybe that's also why they didn't participate in the ego. Moshe Rabbeinu's gone. He's not coming back. No. Because Baruch has plans. It's fine. It's going to work out. This was Sarah. But I saw a fascinating question about Avram Tversky. Famous Rav's psychiatrist. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know where Yosef was buried, so he went to ask Sarah. Moshe didn't know? When Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know something, didn't he have a better address to go to? Didn't he have somebody better to ask? Couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu just ask the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where's Yosef buried? He has this open lines of communication. It's very nice to ask Sarah, but why did he need to ask Sarah? He suggests that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, and I'm elaborating a little bit on what he says, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, you have a tremendous amount of knowledge. But there's something that can be gained from life experience. And there's something about emunah that can't be taught. You have to experience it. You have to see it. Moshe, you're Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's this little old lady who can teach you an awful lot. go speak to Sarah. You, Moshe, at one point by the snare, you said, Vehein lo yaminu li. Bnei Yisrael won't believe me. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu got angry. He says, Ma'amina b'nei ma'aminin. I want to show you somebody who's a real Baal Emunah. Go to Sarah. She can teach even you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Can learn a lot from Sarah. Baruch Hashem, we're beginning a new zman here. It's very exciting. For some people who are visiting us, they're beginning an old zman here. A new old zman. It's wonderful to have our guests. It's wonderful to have people. People who just arrived from Johannesburg. It's great. There's a lot of excitement in here. You have new classes, new courses. There's a lot of learning that can be done. Tremendous amount of Torah that can be gained. And that's what we're here for. But at the same time that we're accumulating such tremendous Torah knowledge, let's not forget that we also need to work on our emunah. And often our emunah can't be learned from a sefer. Emunah is sometimes from life experiences, from people that we know. Parents, grandparents, sometimes great-grandparents. There's a lot that we can learn from them. Chazal tell us that at the time that Bnei Yisrael are getting ready to leave Mitzrayim, all Bnei Yisrael are running around asking all the Egyptians for like klei chesev, klei zav, smalot, all the things that they're going to, so to speak, borrow or take. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal, we say upon in the pasuk, chacham lev yikach mitzvos. He's also running around. He's running around collecting mitzvos. Now he thought he was collecting the mitzvah of burying, bringing Yosef's bones back to Eretz Canaan. But he was also collecting the wisdom of experience, strengthening his emunah, speaking to Sarah. So let's go and let's accumulate and add to our tremendous Torah knowledge that we have, that we need to add more and more and more. At the same time, let's be very wise. And also learn from life experience of ourselves and others, those close to us, and those who are willing to teach us, to strengthen our emunah in Ribbono Shel Olam.